Isn't our Father awesome? Yeah. He loves us so much to do what he did for us tonight. You just feel like an awesome presence of him being here. Tell you what, during praise and worship, I felt like I wanted to fly. And that was awesome. It's still awesome. I still feel it. And I kept feeling like we don't understand what God is really doing right now. He's brought his presence. He's not going to take it away. It's just going to keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger. It's no accident that we're here in this time period. It's no accident that we're here in this place. All of us have been handpicked by God to be used by him. Those words that he spoke tonight, awesome. Let them sink within your spirit. And then go forth. And rejoice. I think I understand what Pastor Barber says about seeing the haze. Because I can see it. It's really cool. It's really, really cool. Let's step all the way into this tonight. And not miss what he's doing. We are really, really special to the Father. Tonight we're going to be talking about counterfeit anointings. And I think it's really cool that God dropped a real anointing so that you can understand the difference by some of the stuff that we're going to see and hear about tonight. And we need to know about these things because God is bringing his glory. He's bringing his revival. And he doesn't want us to get tripped up by what people are going to say about us. He wants us to be able to stand tall and stand strong, knowing that the things that he's doing, we may not see them line upon line in the word, but it's God. It's his presence that's doing it. We're going to see, and we've seen this in the past, but in the future, we're going to see people do strange things. Some of it will be God. Some of it won't. But that does not take away the truth that God is doing these strange things. We are in for one of the most powerful moves ever. Ever. To hit the earth. This is what your battles and struggles are all about. This is why we can let them go and rejoice. Because the enemy truly has lost us. He's lost his stronghold over us. He's lost the battle. He's lost the war. We can rejoice over that tonight He's lost the war. The Bible says everything that you give up for him, he'll return to you a hundredfold in this life and in the life to come. We have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear, nothing to be discouraged about. It's going to become easy to die for him. Easy to lay our lives down for him. Not because we have an expectation of receiving something, but just because of who he is. The Almighty God. He loves us. He really, really loves us. It clicked, didn't it? It clicked. It's clicking. What's some more? It's clicking. I brought some different clips from Perry Stone that I want us to listen to. Just further proof that God is doing what he's said he was going to do. So when you hear about people saying that this isn't of God, the anointing that he's dropping isn't of God, or you shouldn't be doing such things, here's older evidence that it's biblical. The things that are going to be happening, the things that God is doing now.
You can play that. I could stand here for the next few moments and tell you that at age 20, Northport, Alabama, Northport Church of God, I remember the service when we had a prayer line down the middle aisle, and all of a sudden you could feel it. You didn't see it. There was a wind that would hit your face. And it was like a whirlwind. And I said, everybody start walking toward me. I never got to pray for anybody. I'm telling you, a little Methodist girl came through, and the moment she walked with her little hands up, the Spirit of God spun her out in that direction, and she laid out in the power of God. The second girl behind her went the opposite direction, and they are coming through this whirlwind, and to the left and to the right, this is happening. Daisy, Tennessee, right before I was married, a revival broke out that went 7.5 weeks. In that revival, I remember that we had people at the altar praying for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. A woman screamed and jumped up from the back and ran out. The next day at work, she said to people who attend that church, "What kind of magic is that preacher using?" They said, "He's not using any magic." She said, "Don't tell me he's not using any magic. He's definitely using magic." They said, "What do you mean?" They said, "Last night, when he went to pray for those people and he pointed his finger at them, this is a woman that wasn't living right. You understand?" She said, "I saw blue flames coming off his 5 fingertips, hitting the belly of the people. And when it hit the belly of the people, they would fall out. And it terrified me. And I want to know what kind of magic that preacher's using." There was no magic. I never saw fire, but I felt fire on the inside. Now, I never saw blue flames, but I felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost there at that particular time. Now, the thing I want to tell you is this. Same meeting, Same meeting. People saw this. I didn't see it, but they saw it. That a ball of fire came into the building. And suddenly in the eyes, they saw it sweep over everybody there. Instantly, everybody in the place was baptized in the Holy Ghost. One of the most remarkable things that I've ever seen in my life.
It really taught me a lot of things about the operation of the Holy Ghost. But we was in a meeting in Norton, Virginia, and we were sitting in the pulpit chairs. There was an elderly lady that was seated just where this lady is in the red sweater. She probably at that time was 75 to 80 years of age. All of a sudden, the service was just casual. It was a church, had a lot of country music and a lot of musicians. And Brother Dumper looked over at me and punched me in the side. And he said, "Boy, you talking about a move of God? We're getting ready to have it." And I said, "Oh, we are." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "How'd you know?" He said, "Look at that old lady right there." Said, "That's Grandma Fields." I said, "What about her?" He said, "Did you see her kick her shoes off just then and tuck them up under that church bench?" I said, "Well, yeah." Now, he said, "Just wait. Hold on." He said, "As the Spirit starts moving on her, she'll reach up and start taking the hairpins out of her hair. And when she starts taking the hairpins out of her hair," and said, "wait till she gets every hairpin out, and then she'll kind of shake her head, and her hair will fall down over her shoulders, and about a minute later, she'll get on her feet, and she'll start praising God and dancing," and said, "in a minute or two, the fire of God will fall in this place like a big ball of fire, and it's just like it's rolling like a ball up one aisle and down the other." And I said, "Are you kidding me, Brother Rufus?" He said, "No, son." He said, "Just keep your eyes open. Keep your mind on God." Said, "You talking about a meeting? We're having it tonight." And listen, brother, this old lady, I watched her, little skinny woman, weighed maybe about 105 pounds. And then after a while, she started taking her hair down. Pin by pin, these big long pins, laid it on the pew. And then somebody was up with a guitar too, singing. She leaped to her feet and started doing the most beautiful dance that I've ever seen in my life. It was a Holy Ghost dance. Beautiful to look at. Well, she danced across the front and back, and then she decided she wanted to dance down an aisle. She made one trip. And I'm thinking now, Brother Dumper, did you know what you're talking about? Where's all this fire that's going to come? She got back almost to her seat. Of course, she had no intentions of taking a seat. And when she did, it was like something like red hot fire started moving from this part of you down. And just like it was just waving like fire across people's feet. And entire pews at one time was up shaking and trembling and running and praising God. And that old woman's obedience to God brought the house down. You know what I found out it was? I've never seen it like that. It was an anointing of the Holy Ghost that fell and still falls in Pentecostal churches. And just because you've never seen it doesn't mean it's not real. And just because you've never experienced it. In Cedar Valley, Church of God, a few days ago, I went there. Perry couldn't make it. Asked me to fill in on Saturday night. As I finished my message, the Holy Ghost said to me, "I have three men right now in this service. One of them is an elderly man. In fact, I saw him at the meeting. He's here. I hope he's here this morning. If he is, I wish he'd stand up and let me see him. He knows who I'm talking about." And then the Lord said, "I've got two middle-aged men. They used to run the aisles and praise me, and I would send an outpouring when these men obeyed me. Tell them to obey me. I've already spoken to them to get up and run, but they've not obeyed me." This, when I spoke it out, the elderly man let out a loud praise to God. I saw him last night, started running, and I mean to tell you, he told me later that he had some difficulty with his knees, and ordinarily I couldn't do nothing like this, but I want you to know he was Hank Snow or whoever. I'm moving on. About that time, I said, "Who are the middle-aged men that God used to use?" And the Lord said, "He's already spoke to you. When are you going to obey God? If you don't obey God, God's going to hold you responsible for what's going to happen in this service. He wants to do something. He's got to have some obedient people to do it." Amen. And brother, two men started running. I heard a loud shout, and they started running. I don't think they ever caught up with the elderly brother. I laughed about it last night. And let me tell you, about 2 minutes later, women started rejoicing. Women started dancing. And I'm safe in saying that 70% of the church was on their feet, dancing and praising God and rejoicing in the Lord. What is that, Brother Stone? That is the anointing of the Holy Ghost that comes upon churches. Now, it's not a fake and it's not a put on. Now, I'm not talking about this so-called counterfeit anointing where some old busybody that don't like the pastor, don't like the evangelist, gets up and puts on a habeas corpus and a yappity yap yap and tries to get themselves to shake. Hey, folks, there's a big difference. See, Samson had a lot of shake about him. There was one shake he had of the anointing. He could get up and Philistine standing there with swords and shields and spears ready to cut into pieces. And he could get up and shake himself and the anointing of God would come upon him. It was not inside of him like it is us. It came on him and folks, he went to town. I mean, he literally cleaned house with the devil. Amen. But there come a time that Samson had got up and shook himself and he thought, oh God, where's your power? And he shook himself again. Oh God, where's the Holy Ghost anointing? And brother, it wasn't there. And the next thing you read of Samson, he's had his eyes punched out. He's hooked up like an old mule, taking something round and around, probably something crushing grain or sorghum or something of that nature. Listen, brother, I'm not talking about that old chamois kind and that old counterfeit kind.
Here's how you, if we're talking about these kind of things, here's how you judge the Spirit of God. Ready? There's a difference between a gift and an anointing. And people can operate in a gift when it looks like an anointing. But it's not necessarily an anointing, it's simply a gift. When you have a gift, people will exalt you. But when you have an anointing, the Holy Spirit gets credit. And here's the big one, ready? Here's the gift. Gifts bless people, but anointings break yokes. Yeah. Let me say it again. Gifts bless people. There's nothing wrong with operating with the gift. Singers have gifts. There are Christian comedians. It's a gift. Nothing wrong with the gift. Don't get me wrong. But see, when the anointing is present, you will always know the anointing because the anointing destroys yokes. The anointing blesses people. The anointing brings freedom. The anointing causes you to want to get close to Jesus. The anointing causes you to want to worship. So the anointing will always point people back, not to the man. It will point people always back to God, and God will always get the glory and the credit for it.
What happened in
one little example from my friend, Dr. E.L. Terry. Years ago in Ohio, there was a...
What happened in here tonight? The anointing. It drew you to God. You want to be able to tell what a counterfeit anointing is? Does it draw you to God or does it draw you away from God? With everything there is in the spirit realm that God has set up, the enemy has created counterfeits. The principal reason for this is to mock God. The enemy knows the word of God. He knows that it says in Galatians 6:7 that God is not mocked. But that does not stop him from trying. Isaiah 14, verses 13 to 15. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. This is Satan's scripture for what he had planned on doing. So he's mocking God with these counterfeit anointings that are going on. The church is all in an uproar about these counterfeit anointings. The idea or their thought process behind it is they want to protect people from being deceived. It's a good thought process, But they need to carry it a little bit further and get the anointing. And then you don't have to worry about having a counterfeit. It's interesting to see how hard Satan tries to be like God. He can never reach his goal. The very sad part about what Satan does involves the deception of God's people. There are innocents out there who, through no fault of their own, are trapped in the devices of the enemy. They are trapped in religion. I believe, aside from sexual perversion, that the religious spirit is one of the worst spirits a person can have. I say that because it really takes a strong anointing to unteach someone who has been involved in years and years of false doctrine. It takes a lot to get that mess out of them. If you really think about this, they want God, but because the enemy came into their lives through someone who didn't know any better, they are trapped in a world that gives them an empty hope. An empty relationship that promises them no peace, no joy, no fulfillment in the Father. To really see this is to see Satan at his worst, because he has these people performing rituals that will not get them closer to God at all. My reason for saying this is that the emphasis when you are chasing any anointing should always be upon chasing God. It's nice to prophesy, but if you don't have God at the end of the day, what do you have? It's nice to see someone healed, but if you don't have God at the end of the day, what do you have? God has called us to have more. He has called us to have life more abundantly. Why do you think Jesus got so upset at the religious crowd? Because Jesus knew that they were teaching people to live apart from the anointing. Jesus knew that they were teaching people to live apart from the anointing. They were teaching people rituals that would not bring them into relationship with God. The religious spirit will cause you to work for nothing. You will be performing for nothing, always on display, and never able to reach the Father. Let's look at 1 Kings 18, verses 20 to 29. And this is a good example of what a religious spirit does. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves. Cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God." So all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one bull for yourselves, and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it." So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances, until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. A religious spirit will not bring the presence of God. Even though these people were doing the very same thing that Elijah had done, they had a bull and they were crying out to God, to a God, not the God. Because they didn't have a relationship with the God, they didn't get an answer. It's a big difference. As you read on later on in this story, Elijah, because he had a relationship with the God. He got an answer. He got a response. And that caught fire. You want to be in a position where you're not operating out of religious spirit. You want to be in a relationship with your Heavenly Father. A religious spirit will make you feel good for the moment. But when all is said and done, the person with the religious spirit has nothing. You come into church and you leave the same way you came in. No relationship, no freedom, no real joy, nothing. That's sad, but it's happening more and more because people, instead of waiting upon God to manifest himself, they are trying to make things happen. God has been promising the body of Christ that the glory is coming. Don't grow weary in waiting for it to come. We can't make the glory happen. We can only be here and present when it comes. We have to be clean and purged vessels for God to use us with that glory. We've talked about these things before, but when revival came, there was what some have called strange fire. You know, it wasn't the anointing because it didn't produce the change that comes with the anointing. You know, we talked about them kicking the walls and barking like dogs and different things like that. You know, we all know about these things. And it's sad to see that go on because these people really want to be touched by God. They really want to have the presence of God on them. But for some reason, there's a blockage, there's a bondage, and they're not able to receive. God has brought deliverance to be able to set people free so that they can really receive the anointing of God. When you get hit by the anointing, something inside of you changes. You don't want to live the same way. You don't want to think the same way. You just don't. You don't have to be good. You just are good. And we have seen people come through services and they are hungry for God to move upon them, but he doesn't. Instead of waiting for God to do it in his timing, the person gets in a hurry and they open themselves up to this strange fire. There's a gentleman who has made it his personal mission in life to call everything that God does in the charismatic movement as strange fire. And as we saw demonstrated by God tonight, this isn't true. There is a shaking anointing that God drops upon his people. There is a wind that he brings. There is a fire. There's all kinds of things that he does. There are angels that he brings to his people. And that talk to them. There are chariot rides that God is bringing and is doing different manifestations to his people. Let's not get caught up in what people who are afraid of God, who don't really have a relationship with God, are saying. Let's remember the experiences that we have had. Let's remember what those of old have taught us, because they're not lying to us. They're not trying to deceive us. The Holy Spirit is real, and the things that God is doing and bringing to this earth realm are real. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to look at this video because it's out there, and we're going to see what he's talking about, and you're going to see he's going to show people, well-known people, and he's going to show a Kundalini anointing going on inside of a service. He says that both of these anointings are the same thing. They're not. There is the real, true God anointing, and then there is a demonic counterfeit anointing. You have to be aware of that. Through the discerning of spirits, you'll be able to know when people are operating in the false anointing. You just will. We've talked about this many, many times. There's a demonic tongues that people speak in. And if you're listening for the Holy Spirit, he will tell you those tongues are demonic and that person needs to get a deliverance. Same thing, there's a demonic prophetic gift. And you have to be discerning in those things so that you can help people go in the right direction. We believe that people don't want to be bound. We believe that people want to have the real, true gifts of God. And God has given us discernment to be able to help set them free. This is why we're bringing this out, because we don't want you to be afraid and say, oh God, how do I judge and discern? Listen to the Holy Spirit. Let Him tell you what's true and what's false. If you're concerned about your gifts, ask the Holy Spirit to show you, do you need a deliverance? Ask the Holy Spirit to show you, is this really a gift from God? There was a person that comes here, they were trying to hear the voice of God, and they just kept trying and trying and trying. Finally, a voice started talking to them, but it wasn't the voice of God. And that person had to go through and get set free from this voice that was coming to them. It happens. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's nothing to be ashamed of. God just sees that you're hungry. And if you wait, if you're patient, you'll get the things that you want in His timing, because He wants you to have them. He wants you to be able to enjoy. Just like God said tonight in the Word, He wants you to be able to enjoy His gifts. He wants you to be able to enjoy the things that He has for us in this hour. All right, you can start that.
Andrew Strom, author of the book Kundalini Warning, Are False Spirits Invading the Church? Now, of course, that's a very radical title, and we're going to be looking at a huge amount of video footage in this documentary, and I want to show you some of the shocking things and just how similar they are to the Kundalini cults of Hinduism and the New Age movement, Eastern religions. The stuff that's been invading in the last, say, 16 to 17 years, I believe it's the worst invasion in church history. So we've got a lot to look at. And my background is I've been involved in the charismatic movement myself for over 25 years. I've been part of the prophetic movement. I was part of that movement for 11 years. So I saw all of this incredibly alarming and disturbing stuff coming in while I was involved. I first heard about this man, Rodney Howard Brown, in about 1993-94. He was holding huge meetings in the United States, very popular, and was starting to have a huge influence with his drunkenness. He called himself the Holy Ghost bartender, and he would lay hands on people, imparting to them this laughter, or he would wave his hands at people and this laughter would overcome them, or shaking, or uncontrollable jerking. All these manifestations were starting to happen. And he became huge in the Word of Faith, because he's a huge prosperity preacher. So he got himself on Kenneth Copeland's television program, and you could see them behaving drunkenly on stage, live on television. Here's Rodney Howard Brown imparting this spirit of drunkenness and laughter into some of the biggest leaders in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the biggest Word of Faith prosperity teachers. A guy called Randy Clark came down, saw what was happening, got this impartation through the laying on of hands, got this anointing himself, and he took it into the Vineyard movement. Now here is Todd Bentley explaining how Randy Clark brought this in.
He received a spark of the anointing in Tulsa and in Lakeland, came down, and just weeks later, God used him as the fire starter for the Toronto outpouring and the Toronto blessing in January 1994. And we have here tonight Randy Clark. And I asked him to come out, dear Randy, because I know you're a fire starter. And you've been lighting fires all over the world.
So it entered into the Toronto Airport Vineyard Church. And so it became known as the Toronto Blessing. Went worldwide under that name, the Toronto Blessing. Everybody knew what that was about. People falling down, acting drunken, laughing hysterically, shaking uncontrollably, or jerking backwards and forwards, their head shaking back and forth. People even roaring like lions. People making animal noises. You know, this stuff had not been seen in the church. I mean, it may be in a tiny way on the fringes. This stuff had never been seen in the church on this scale before, and it invaded worldwide. So all around the world, especially in the Commonwealth countries, we're talking England and all through the UK, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and many other nations all over the world, all through Europe, all of the charismatic movement was into this stuff for the large part. And so this thing became a worldwide sensation just in a couple of years. Now, the basic question that we're asking in this documentary is, why are these manifestations so similar to Eastern religions and Hinduism and the Kundalini cults, and yet they're not found in Scripture, they're not found in the Bible, they're not found in classical Christianity at all? Of course, in Hinduism, one of the most common ways of experiencing a Kundalini awakening is through a guru placing his hand upon your forehead. This is called Shaktipat. And when they do that, you'll be infused with this incredible love and this wave of emotion. You'll fall down. There'll be all these manifestations, maybe animal noises, joy and weeping and shaking. This is a Kundalini awakening, and amazingly, it is exactly the same as what we have been seeing in the Toronto Blessing. Now, this all began with Rodney Howard Brown imparting a new anointing into a bunch of leaders, and they spread it around the world. In fact, it spread like wildfire. How do we know that Rodney Howard Brown had a pure anointing? How do we know it wasn't a Kundalini spirit from the beginning? Because it seems absolutely identical to it. Now, one of the very clearest signs of a Kundalini awakening has always been these kriyas. You see this woman involved in the New Age movement. She's walking along exhibiting these kriyas happening, involuntary jerking motions. And the staggering thing about it is that we are seeing again and again and again these exact same type of kriyas right through the Toronto movement. This has always been one of the clearest signs of Kundalini that we know of. A friend of mine from South Africa who's done a tremendous amount of research on this topic says that Kundalini is like a false Holy Spirit. It produces even miracles and healings, infusions of love and power and energy and emotion and all these kinds of things, and yet it's the Hindu version of the Holy Spirit, and it's not holy. Now, we all know that in the last days, the Bible speaks again and again warning of deception, seducing spirits. It says that it'll be perilous times will come. It says there'll be lying, signs and wonders. It says all of these things, soberness, sobriety, being alert, being watchful. This is what it says to us all the way through the prophecies of the last days. Here we are, we're in the end times now, and what do we have on our hands? We have a movement that's promoting weird and bizarre signs and wonders. We have a movement promoting drunkenness when we're told to be sober in the last days, again and again. It's promoting all kinds of whacked out spiritual experiences, and we are warned in the last days, watch out for seducing spirits. The Bible even says, it goes as far as saying this, if possible, the very elect themselves would be deceived. So I don't want to be taking any chances with deceiving spirits in the last.
Instead of having an anointing, it's trying to get you to be in fear of everything. This is not what God wants. This is a counterfeit move that's trying to stop the real anointing that God is bringing to his people. Laying on of hands is scriptural. You all know that. Speaking in tongues is scriptural. Let's look at Judges 16:20. This is the account of Samson. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. When you look at the Hebrew translation of the word "shake myself," it means to shake out or shake off. This is an anointing that God put upon Samson to shake. So for them to say that there's no anointing for shaking and there's no scriptural proof for shaking, how do they explain Samson? How do they explain what God did through Samson? Isaiah 28:9-13. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, "This is the rest, with the rest, with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." But the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. Scriptural evidence for the Holy Spirit doing everything that has been done. These are real anointings. We've read about Acts. It says that they appeared as drunken men. This was a Holy Spirit anointing. Can't be denied. It can be counterfeited. There are people out there doing things that they shouldn't be doing, counterfeiting. The devil does counterfeit God's anointing, as we've talked about before. But there's nothing for us to be afraid of, because God has promised, given us a promise that his glory was coming and that these signs were going to be here. So, prepare yourself to be persecuted by the church, because they're not going to understand what God is doing. But are you going to stop his anointing from flowing through you because other people don't understand what God is doing? Are you going to stop the gift that he's placed down on the inside of you because people don't understand what God is doing? Matthew 24:23-25. Then if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "there," do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. And as I said earlier, this gentleman is deciding to throw out everything in the name of safety, and we don't want anyone to be hurt. But you're shutting down the Spirit of God. You're grieving the Holy Spirit by doing that, because he does do these things that we've talked about. And he's going to do even more. There's going to be things that are not written specifically out in the Bible that are going to happen and are going to occur. He's going to ask you to do certain things that are, they're not specifically written out in the Bible. Don't be afraid to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. If you get out there on a limb, God will speak and he will let people know who care about you and who will keep you in line. You have to trust your Father. You have to trust that he knows what he's doing and what he's talking about. 1 John 4:1-6. Don't believe everything you hear. This is out of the Message version. My dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world. Here is how you test for the genuine Spirit of God. Everyone who confesses openly his faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came as an actual flesh and blood person, comes from God and belongs to God. And everyone who refuses to confess faith in Jesus has nothing in common with God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist that you have heard was coming. Well, here it is, sooner than we thought. My dear children, you come from God and belong to God. You have already won a big victory over those false teachers. For the spirit in you is far stronger than anything in the world. These people belong to the Christ-denying world. They talk the world's language, and the world eats it up. But we come from God and belong to God. Anyone who knows God understands us and listens. The integrity, the person who has nothing to do with God, will of course not listen to us. This is another test for telling the spirit of truth from the spirit of deception. All of those people that he named, Rodney Howard Brown, I believe it was Kenneth Hagin that was up there. Who? Randy Clark. They have an integrity. They have a long history of being in the Bible. They have a long history of following the true Spirit of God. This is nothing more than an attack upon them and on another child of God. We have to look at that for what it really is and see. We need to be praying for Mr. Strong. This isn't anything where we come against him, but we need to really recognize what's going on as a part of the war within the body of Christ. These men and the women, because he also comes against Patricia King and Heidi Baker and says that their anointings aren't real either. These men and women need our prayer support. They need us to be able to pray for them. God is protecting them. But just so we understand what and how deep this really goes and how great it is. We can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And again, we are saying there are some people in the body of Christ who operate under this kundalini anointing. They need to get delivered. There is going to be strange fire that occurs when the real anointing falls. That does not take away the real fire, the real anointing that God is bringing. Everybody understand everything tonight.
You know, I just want to verify something with Rodney Howard Brown. I was in Florida one time with my mother at one of his meetings, and the lady sitting in front of me all of a sudden jumped up, and all of her jewelry flew off her body, her rings, her earrings, her nose ring, everything flew off her body. And then she started doing this motion like this here and unbuttoned her blouse and everything, and I looked over to the right. It was in an auditorium, you know, where the seats run right to. And everybody in this one section all started doing this, you know, same thing she was doing. And their jewelry all flew off. And she kept running around and around and around. Finally, Rodney Howard Brown, he quit preaching. He just left her run for a little bit. And then finally he stopped in front of her and said, "Satan, in the name of Jesus, leave her." And she went flying, you know, backwards. And so see, this Strom who was running them down, he doesn't know what he's even talking about. He's the one that said God told him to leave America because we were messed up. They went to someplace. I forgot where he went. But we have seen the false right here in this church. But we know it's the false, and so we just quietly rebuke it in the name of Jesus or self and go on. But we have to understand, please don't listen to this junk that's out there. And that's why we're bringing this out tonight, because this type of stuff is trying to destroy the moving of the Spirit. Now, that lady that goes to work all the time jerking her head like that, I really don't think that's God. God wouldn't do that to us, you know. She has to go to work. And I remember reading about that. But a lot of the stuff went on down there. That revival wasn't God anyhow. It wasn't the ministers that were doing it. It was just people had spirits in them. And the spirits started manifesting. It had nothing to do with the preachers. It had to do with the people who were demon-possessed. And they just started acting up. So then they blame it on the pastors. They blame it on Jesus. And then there's people that are demon-possessed. And, you know, they're acting up. And the barking like dogs and everything like that, that's spirits inside of them that are coming out. And seeing people are like him, they don't understand the moving of the Spirit, so then they do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, they run them out of the state. Rodney Harrod Brown. Wow.
So it's just something that I just never got. And one time I was standing in a real long line of people, and Rodney Howard Brown was going down touching everybody, and he touched me and I didn't get down, and he come back. He said, "All right, Barbara, get loose." And he hit me in the forehead, and the Spirit of God hit me and I went down. He's a wonderful man. He really is. As we like to do, some people stand up here and they...
Yes.
Smack my head and say, "Take it."
Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we thank you for everything that was brought out tonight. We thank you for giving us truth that we can stand on and that we can walk in. And Father, we do lift this Andrew Strom and others that are up like him. We pray, Father, that your anointing would hit them and you would cause them to see what's really going on. Father, we thank you for the anointing that you brought to us tonight. You took us higher in your spirit realm than we've ever been before. And Father, we just give you honor and glory for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.